D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z know what's popping in the field. These boys
now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Luxurious.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm telling you. No, I can't even. How you doing? What's that guy?
Huh?
It's, believe me, it's luxurious.
Yeah.
I don't have a good Donald Trump.
I love this podcast. I love this.
It's a luxurious, luxurious studio here in at my house. Saints win. Now they're 4-0. That's again, I'd have to go back another year to see what they did the year before that. But last year it's the exact same thing that happened. Then they went on a 4-game losing streak.
Yeah.
So we're gonna see if this team's actually a different team than last year's team. I personally, and I know I don't want to sound, I'm sure there's so many people like who, but as a person who tries to be objective, I think they're a different team. They have now offensive skill position players that they didn't have last year to open up their offense.
Yeah.
And as I was telling everybody last week, Mark Ingram is a superstar.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I kept preaching.
Yeah.
No, okay. All right. Maybe not.
He didn't but like being
Dice,
on the bench.
What Lil Dice said on Twitter. He's like, hey, I told you guys.
Yeah.
I think I was a little sarcasm in there, Lil Dice, but he did tell us.
We've kind of seen this out of Ingram before, though. You know,
he seems to only play when he gets mad.
Yeah,
you know,
got to set him down a little bit, let him get some attitude, and comes back out and
he played.
Yeah,
played. He played hard. The defense seems to be, especially with the return of Bro. Now he was on a pitch count.
Yeah,
but the few plays he played, I say few, but you know, and you can even see the difference in the defense when he left the game. You know, so
yeah. Kind of hard to say though. You know. Kind of hard to say when Kaepernick came out of his game looking like an all-pro and
he did
and put up 400 yards passing or whatever. It's weird with this team. They're still in the bottom two or last, I don't know, in points given up.
Uh-huh.
Them in San Francisco, as it turned out, were the only two teams that were giving up more than 30 points a game.
Right.
But yet I still feel like when I watch this defense that it's improved.
Yeah,
and it doesn't really show up in the numbers necessarily, but I still, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's just me trying to fool myself.
I think some of it had to do with it seemed like the Saints struggled against that read option, and I say to myself, yeah, but you know the Cam Newtons run the read option; they should be prepared for that. Having said that, I don't think Cam Newton was the Cam Newton and played the way Cam Newton normally plays in the last game. So that read option's hard to defend. I mean, several plays, there was the whole fake the running back into the line and then, boom, hit that slant.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe I'm just making excuses, but I think the defense has improved, but, boy, they didn't look like it yesterday.
No,
so
it didn't. You know?
Yesterday was all about the offense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Well, I disagree. I'm going to say to
you of course you do.
That the defense has improved, but I believe that we have, because of the players that we have, I believe that we have a philosophy that says just keep everything in front of you. And so if they make a 6-yard or a 9-yard, whatever, as long as it's not a breakaway for a touchdown, even though that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's really the defensive game plan. And, you know, again, sure, Bro came in and he's still a lockdown. He's our lockdown defensive back. There's no doubt about that. But you don't have PJ across from him. So the other side is kind of floating along. And so you have to wait and see, you know. Now, a couple of guys that we have are playing really decent ball. And I would say to you, big difference between Bro and Webb, right? As soon as you see Bro play, you realize Webb's really not that good. Okay? But that's just the way that it sets up. But I still go back and say that our weakness on the defense is linebacker. That's it.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think we need some more pass rush, but I'd have to say, you know, I asked after the game, I asked Heath after you had left, I said, okay, regardless of position, whatever position you feel the best value is there when we pick, what position do you pick? And I'm thinking linebacker, and he kind of hem and hawed about linebacker, but he also brought up defensive end. And I think those are the two positions that need to be addressed.
Well, what
the
I
most.
Said is my initial reaction would be
I'll tell everybody
pass rusher.
What you said. Yeah, leave that to me. I'll tell them what you said. Go ahead.
Communist.
Yeah. No. My initial reaction would be we need an edge rusher, but I really feel like it would almost have to be a linebacker, especially if you get some really superstar linebacker.
You can't look if we're in a position in the draft. You know, and at this point, I think we're going to be somewhere because I'm still sticking with my 9 and 7. So I think we're going to be somewhere between 15 and 20 for our pick in the draft.
Sure.
At that point, you know, only the first 10 are the kind of guys you say for sure making this team.
Right.
15 to 20. You know, if there is an incredible linebacker that sort of slipped through the cracks. Okay, but even if not, I'm still going to pick linebacker. Whoever they have on the board,
right.
I'm going to pick linebacker. Simply because an edge rusher, well, you know, we have a lot of guys on the team that would significantly improve our position if we had better linebacker. You know, we're playing special team guys at linebackers.
Right.
I mean, think about it. Yep. I mean, Marty, Stupar, I mean, all these people are special team players. You know, Lauren Ice is done. You know, he's gone. And obviously, Stephon Anthony, is not going to be on a team playing a position that we thought he was going to play. For whatever reason, you know? I wouldn't even be surprised if he gets traded. I mean, that's how I see it at this point. He's fallen so far off the charts.
You know,
but then what do you have? Now you have no linebacker.
Right. One of the things that we keep in mind, I know we kind of brought up the draft. I don't want to say we're talking draft, but we kind of brought up the draft, is that there's also free agency. And if I had my ruthers and to see how it goes down, it is hard to find a good edge player in free agency without paying an arm and a leg. I could see them getting a linebacker and trying to improve our linebacker situation. We're going to have money next year. You know, all offseason, all I've been preaching is next year is the year. Now, if there's no fall off from Breeze, you're going to have a guy like Michael Thomas that's going to, you know, we talked about it. He's going to hit the weight room. He's going to come back. He's going to be better at what he does than what he is right now. Which is a bigger, stronger version of himself. Huh?
Yeah, and that's already pretty damn good.
Yeah, exactly. Then you're going to have a lot of these defensive backs we'll get back. We can have guys that are young that are going to have experience. And then we'll have money to plug in a couple of holes that all of a sudden now we're going to be.
Well, we know one hole the money's going to go to immediately.
Well, hey, listen, I'm not going to talk about you. We know where you're going with this, these sexual deviant things that. You're talking about something else? I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you. I don't know why I do that sometimes.
Man, you know, life is rough sometimes.
I tell you what.
Guard? That's going to be where we're going to spend some money. Some guard out there, they're eyeballing already every guard that's out there.
I don't disagree with you, but at this point, I'm not even worried about that right now.
I mean, hell, you had Armstead go out, Pete moved out to tackle again, Calamente came in, and I didn't see any big drop-off in the line play.
Okay,
you know?
So tell me this. Here's an interesting question. If Pete continues to play the way he plays, and that's assuming that Armstead, you know, gets healthy and everything, man, I mean, he is playing very well at left tackle. Do you really – and throw in there that I think he can improve as a right tackle. But having said that, if he is a very good left tackle, man, you can't just stick that guy at guard and let him waste his career alongside Armstead at tackle. I could very much see – the potential for a trade where you can get a high first-round draft pick, another player, another pick. Like, you can get – left tackles are a commodity. And I think we can get something for them that could really improve our team.
Which one?
Well, that's a question. That's something interesting if we want to go there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Armstead, with the injury concerns now, I mean – who were you thinking? Were you thinking you trade Armstead?
Well, no, I guess
here's the reason
I would think you trade Pete, because his contract is going to be more manageable. Armstead just got a huge contract.
Well, yeah, that's
so
true.
Now you're going to accelerate all kind of stuff. It's going to turn into another Jimmy Graham, Junior Gillette situation.
Yeah.
But if you trade Pete, it's much more manageable because his owner, even though he's a first-round draft pick, it's still a very manageable contract.
Right.
Then you're going to give up on a kid.
Oh, no, you're not giving up. You get
younger.
Well,
and,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, but Armstead, okay, outside of injury, the two are essentially, what is Armstead, maybe 3 years older than, I mean, both of them have 10 years plus on their the NFL life. So,
I mean, Armstead's not
hypothetically
been around that long
what
yet.
If you trade Pete, and the reason I'm saying Pete is simply because his contract should be more manageable, trade him for a really good starting linebacker and a second round pick or another first round pick later
know.
In the first.
Yeah,
you know, now you plug in that hole at linebacker.
Well, but you also created a hole at guard again.
Okay, we'll use the other pick.
You know,
to, you know. I mean, my point. I feel what you're saying. But
I think this goes back to a question we brought up a long time ago. Is playing Pete at left guard now a waste of his career?
And that's
like
what
you
I'm,
said
that's,
a little while ago.
That's
you
the
know?
Point I'm making.
I say it is.
Okay. Well, I'm not so sure, but. You know, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, because here's the thing. He played left tackle, and I realize we didn't play a great defense yesterday. But, I mean, our guards played serviceably. And you got to figure that Evans is already at the end of his career. They cut him, and they brought him back. And, you know, how many more years does he have left?
Yeah.
Can he be serviceable one more year?
I guess what I would say right now is that depending on how much more Pete plays at left tackle this year, I don't know if he's shown enough yet at left tackle.
Amen.
To get that kind of a trade.
I agree with you.
You know what I'm saying?
But I'll say this.
He's got promise, certainly.
Osweiler. If
yeah,
people
I was
think
say the same thing.
I would almost
yeah.
you know, I would almost think
that's
that a,
two radically
off,
different positions.
I'm just saying I'd almost I bet it sometimes cuz I don't speak I'm going to speak in generality. Sometimes it's better to leave them thinking that you might be good than let them find out where all your weaknesses are.
Well, okay,
you know, play five games and play really well and maybe just.
Well, now look at it this way. I mean, my observation is this. This is not the first game he played. He's been playing several games at left tackle.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Okay.
No, yeah.
And he has done a great job. And what I have seen is that continuous improvement as he's playing left tackle. That is his natural position. They knew that when they drafted him.
Oh,
that that's his natural position.
Yeah.
Now, if at the end of the season, they think, you know what? We'll start grooming him now for right tackle. And Streif, you know, we're done. Thanks very much. Now, I'm still surprised at Streif how well he's doing, but it's still only the halfway point of the season. You know, we keep moving a little bit further along. Let's see how Streif holds up. Because remember last year, you know, he had nicked up, banged up, you know. By about the end of November, he was struggling along to be able to play. So let's see where that goes. But to me, that's why I said guard. Turner is a guard that we have on the team, but he's not a starting NFL guard.
And, well, you don't know that yet. But I don't know. Okay, the question would be, are you willing to gamble on that? So I'm just putting that out there.
I'm willing to say to you that at this point of season, I like Kelemente. I think that he can play guard, okay? But if you're telling me that at this point of season, he still hasn't beaten out Evans, then you're telling me something right there.
Well,
and if Evans goes down,
and you're talking
it will not be Turner who comes in. It will be
Lolito.
You know,
you see,
so
but,
again,
okay, a lot of it has to do with experience. I think that and Coach Payton alludes to it all the time whenever he talks about, like, let's say Lasko. It's like, why isn't he playing? Well, it's not because he's not good enough. It's confidence. I need to give more touches. But you're like,
the only reason Lasko's not playing is because he's not good enough yet for Breeze to feel that he's going to protect him,
okay,
no matter
so
what
confidence.
Happens. Okay, it's not Peyton's confidence.
But in general, I'm saying in general.
And
okay.
It's the same thing that Hightower, even with all of the experience, if you saw some of the interviews that Hightower gave, he said, yeah, you know, I'm feeling much better now playing in the backfield and blocking and knowing my assignments. This is from a guy who's been a pro for a long time.
Right.
Okay, so in a running back situation, you definitely, I mean, this is the thing about Ingram. I'm not an Ingram guy, never have been, never will be. But Ingram blocks. He'll pick up a guy coming in. Now, he's small. He might get pelayed now and then, you know, because he's not big enough to really knock down one of somebody's big, giant linebackers.
Right, but he does
But he
does
knows where
job.
He's supposed to be, and he stands in front of him, and he takes the shot.
Yeah.
You know? So there's no ole happening, you know, when he goes in there. So that's that position. But in guard position, yeah, I know he's a rookie, and I know that he's a developmental guy, but I'm telling you, where is he? You know? He only played as he took Lolito's place as being the extra guard lineman, if you will, you know, only because we had nobody else. You know, so to me, okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, but to me, if I'm looking, Breeze only has a couple more years left, man, I can't afford an undrafted guy who I'm not really all that confident about, who might still need 2 years to be developed. I don't have time. You know, I have to have a guard. Evans, we have him because we had nobody else.
Right.
He knows the system, and so he's an easy plug-in. But if you're watching the games, and you and I have sat next to each other talking about, well, he got beat on that one.
Right.
No, I mean, you know, that guy, he didn't pick up the right guy in that one.
He's still adequate. Like, you know, I mean, yeah.
Adequate is not, you know.
No, I get it, and it depends what you're doing, and not every guy on a team can be an all-pro, and we understand that. So it's like, especially with the resources we have right now, you kind of have to pick and choose. You're like, okay, do we go spend our money at this or spend your money there?
Right, but the question came up about if you trade somebody, who are you going to go with?
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to have the first-round pick, who are you going to go with? You know,
I'm going to have a hard time, if I'm the general manager, trading Pete.
Yep,
especially considering what we're seeing with Armstead and the fact that he seems to be having increasingly more and more trouble staying on the field.
And that's why I say, if it was up to me, you already got
a guy right there who can right now play left guard and slide out when he has to.
And play excellent left tackle.
And Calamente seems to be a lot better playing left guard to come in, you know. And all of a sudden, if you trade that guy, now you've created a whole nother situation.
And even with the injuries, Armstead has been recognized as being Pro Bowl material.
Oh, yeah. When he comes back, he's locked down.
So, to me, he's better trading. Even with the big contract, he's still a better trade potential. I'm just saying because – and I'm not going to say what I'm saying. Just simply because he has had so many injuries, and then you start worrying about those injuries.
I get it, and I agree with that, and I think that's why it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
You know, who's better? I get it. Of course you'd want to trade the guy who maybe might be hurt or whatever, but the other teams know that too, and they say, am I going to pick up this big contract for a guy that may not be? So a lot of interesting stuff, but I tell you what. All right, let's transition real quick, talk a little bit about our picks this weekend, and then we'll hit a break.
This segment brought to you by BS and Beer Podcast. Twice the entertainment, half the calories.
Unprecedented stuff there. You like that? All right, this week the high number goes to Breezes Christ in the Pick'em League. 9. He got 9.
Yeah.
All the way down, let's see. Let's go D-Bridge and Aries 39 with 8. 7, we have Cook's Arrow, Red Gem, Waymer, Cable Tonka, Moxie Lady, Gulf Coast Bombers, Brooks, Texas, Who Dat, and Scary Cats. That brings us all the way to 12. And since we do that with 6, that's me, BS and Beer Dave. Anyway, I thought I'd throw that in there. And so, where'd you guys go? Where are you guys, huh?
I don't know.
Let's talk about it.
Wow.
Let's talk about it.
I got a whole 5 points this week. This is by far the worst week I've had. So maybe this is my throughout week or whatever it is.
That's something too, because I also notice there's a lot of people. I think we start off with like 50 something, and now we dwindled down to you can see where people aren't even putting their picks in. But hey, all you guys playing, don't forget, we don't talk about it enough. There's $100 on the line. And speaking of things that we need to speak about, apparently the hotline, don't know, we got a couple of messages saying that they're just getting a busy signal. It's a dedicated line, so it's not like it's somebody's home phone and left it off the hook or something. So, anyway, it's like a line that you purchase. So I don't know what's going on. I'll call tech support. We probably missed out. Little Dice always gives us a call. There were a couple of other people that either sent me a tweet and an email letting me know there's a problem. So I appreciate y'all giving me a heads up. That number, 857-957-1997. See? We're going to have to get on the same page.
You threw your arm out there.
I was looking at the phone and you threw your arm out.
And, yeah.
Tomas has all been out of shape since we're not doing it that way no more. He's like, Thursday, he let me know he didn't appreciate that.
Right.
But anyway, let's take a break real quick. And then we're going to come back, good, bad, and ugly.
Hey there, this is Cooter Wilmine of the Boudreaux Parish Discount Gun Shop. Due to the high demand of high-quality tasers, we're overstocked, and now we're blowing out our inventory. There are other uses for tasers other than law enforcement, such as defending yourself from home invaders. But let's say you might not have concerns about home intruders. Well, you might have a mischievous dog that likes to get into trouble. Well, you can dial it back a touch and... Or what about an undisciplined teenager that likes to take out your truck in the middle of the night because they think you're sleeping? And what about that wife of yours that likes to sip on a little bit of grandpa's old cough medicine and then start getting a little mouthy with you? So head on down to Boudreaux Parish Gun Shop and pick up your taser today. Tell them Cooter sent you.
BS and Beer Podcast, covering more area than Peyton Manning's forehead.
All right, we're back here in the basement. The palatial studios. I had to do a retake because I came out of the break doing fire. Yeah.
You know, sometimes stroked out there, but
yeah, the words just don't come out sometimes, man. You know, not just in love, but in podcast too. You know, the words just don't come out right. So good, bad, and ugly.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for Good and the Bad and the Ugly.
That sound like me coming out of the break right there.
Sure did.
No, that was better spoken than me. All right, so the good has to be this feeling that I have right now. What do you think? Huh? Just that.
You got a tingle running down the back of your leg?
Yeah, the tingle. Oh, I don't know where you're going
Chris
with
Matthews?
That.
Chris Matthews? Oh. All right.
Oh, let's get back on track.
Let's get back on track.
Hey, but I mean, it has to be that good feeling, right? That has to be the good. Is just the Tomas? He has something up his
sleeve. The good for me is the running game.
Running game was pretty amazing.
Yeah,
yeah.
And what a difference that makes for the offense.
Some good Michael Thomas.
That was my good.
I mean, okay, and I'll let you have it. I'm just gonna say, not just the fact that he played well, it's the fact that he is evolving into our number one receiver. And the reason that's good to me is that we talked about offseason. Cooks is a dynamite, explosive playmaker, but he's not a number one receiver. He's not a guy, even if you did throw the ball to him over and over and over again, he'd eventually get broken. So to have a big guy like Michael Thomas to get all that hard work in the middle, he's explosive, he's tall, he's Willie Snead, just bigger, faster, and more athletic.
All right, well, my good's going to be Drew Brees.
You know, he don't get appreciated.
You know, to watch him play, and people talk about he's old and this and that, but he understands the game to the point where he throws receivers open. And you and I were talking a little bit about that when we were watching the game. You know, here goes Cooks flying down the field, but they know Cooks is going to fly, so now they cover him to fly down the field, and all of a sudden, here comes the ball, and he turns around, and boom, he catches the ball because it's that back shoulder stop kind of catch that Brees recognizes that, man, I'd love to go over the top and hit him, but he ain't going to catch the ball because they'd be in the way. And the same thing is you watch Brees manipulate defensive backs and linebackers as you watch the team play. So I would say that my good was watching a true master of the game dissect San Francisco. Now, I know you're not playing against, the top defense in the
But
in
he
the
does
league,
it against those guys,
but
too.
He, exactly right. I think he works it all the time anyway. So that would be my good.
Is it fair to say, and I kind of mentioned this when you were talking, and I thought about it, I said, man, that'll sound right. Brees underappreciated. But he's so good that you just expect it.
You take it for granted.
And then, and what's funny is then you start judging him based on the curb of him being excellent. So if he has a game where he throws an interception or doesn't look extremely sharp and only throws for 65% completion and two touchdowns interception, then you're saying, well, you know, Brees wasn't that sharp today. You're like, anybody else would say, man, I had a career game. But to Brees, or the way I feel about Brees is that, oh, well, he was a little off today, because the expectation now is he's just going to be amazing.
Right.
And
right.
He's just so precise. I mean, just there were times we were talking during the game where I'm just looking at him like, you know, it's like I said during the game that I didn't feel like our receivers were getting open.
Right.
And Brees just kept throwing them open.
Yeah.
Like it was just a game where it seemed like they were honest, man. And I can't really explain why that was, but it just felt like we just didn't have guys where Brees was dropped back, plant his foot, throw it in there, catch a guy in stride. It was a lot of contested stuff, a lot of, you know, defensive backs right in their face. And Brees there on several occasions, like, we need a first down. The guy's covered, throw back shoulder. It makes it look easy.
Yeah.
And then when he starts making it look easy to a guy like Michael Thomas, then all of a sudden you just start seeing something that's – I mean, it's just – it means so many good things for this offense. So,
absolutely.
All right, so the bad, right off the top head.
Go ahead.
Something I thought was just really intriguing. Right before halftime, three calls for defensive holding. And so the ball snapped. The 49er defensive backs essentially tackle all of our receivers. Did you see that?
Yeah.
No, I didn't notice.
Heath had something. He missed the first half of the game, so I didn't think he had saw that. But what they did was lined up, and the situation was there was only so much time. We were already in field goal range.
Right.
But there was only enough time to maybe get off one play to the end zone. And it was brilliant. It was brilliant. Because by doing that, they got five more yards. Okay, so we're a little bit closer to field goal range, but they can't put the time back on the clock.
Right.
So now you're in a situation, you kick the field goal. So, yeah, again, you're giving them 5 yards, make the kick essentially a little bit easier, but you don't give them the one shot to the end zone.
Yeah.
So it was brilliant. And I put it in the bad just because it's kind of like you should never be rewarded for, I don't want to say cheating, but breaking the rules.
Yeah.
You know, hey, listen, I'm going to false start, and that's going to give us an advantage on this play. Yeah, you know, that it should never happen. But it did in that situation, and just I've never seen it in all my years of football. And after I sat there and just like, wait a minute, and started thinking it through, I'm like, it's brilliant. But the referee comes out, and you weren't there, so it was just kind of funny. We have three flags on the play, holding number 23 defense, holding number 21 defense, holding number 44 defense, and you know, they that one was accepted. And it was like, then they showed the replay, and it just all of them just did, know, it's brilliant. So
seemed like you ought to get 3-for-1 out to get 15 yards.
Yeah,
they get
15 yards. Yeah. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Tomas, any your thoughts on the bad?
Well, there really wasn't all that much bad necessarily.
Well, you win and it's just deodorant, huh?
Because I would say that to me, the bad, if I'm going to pick a bad, is that at some point we just cannot continue to have the defensive game plan of, well, you know, just let them, you know, come down the field, work down the field slowly, just keep everything in front of you. At some point, yeah, I know we don't have all of our stars, but at some point, you got to change that. Because at some point, the other team's going to go, fine, we'll just march down the field 7-8 yards at a time. Yeah, no problem for us, you know? So at some point, you have to challenge them. Now, I know it's difficult because of our linebacking issue. I know it's difficult because supposedly we had a defensive back issue, which I don't think we have anymore, but to me, if I have to pick something bad, it's that, you know, we're constantly, you know, you can't expect the offense to put somebody in a hole and bury them if the other offense knows, hey, it's okay, they're up by 14, we're going to march down the field, you know, 7 yards at a time, we'll be back in this game, which is what San Francisco did. I mean, they marched back into the game, you know, simply going nickel and dime and then breaking one. Okay, we broke one. Okay, nickel and dime, boom, they broke another one.
We definitely gave up too many big plays yesterday, so any bend but don't break idea kind of went out the window when you bend and then you break. Exactly. But, you know, we got some turnovers. So you could say, man, lucky for us, we got turnovers. Or you could say, hey, man, we forced some turnovers. And, you know, but
well,
it's
Vaccaro,
still.
Well, Vaccaro, if we're going to go back to the good, the beast that Vaccaro is.
Vaccaro.
You know, they were holding that guy, and he was like, I'm going to yank this damn ball out of here no matter what. Boom! And then he yanked that ball out. And then he walked. If you watch the highlight, he yanks the ball out, and then he walks off the field like,
you know, okay,
I did that.
So Hightower scores a touchdown in the first half where he gets tackled. He's going backwards. He falls on a defender.
Right, yeah. Never touches the ground.
And just keeps chopping his feet and gets in the end zone. Conversely, the 49ers, that guy is getting tackled. He's trying to get to the ground. Falls on a Saints defender, I believe it was, and Vaccaro rips the ball. I mean, there was nothing else the guy could do. He could not get to the ground because maybe that's a new defense. You just lay like three or four defenders out and grab the guy and throw him on top and start pulling the ball out. So it's just ironic that in two different plays where there was a guy laying underneath, both of them work out to our favor.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
all right. So now
you left with the ugly.
Yeah, the pass defense.
Pass defense.
Yeah. I mean, I think you got to call it ugly when Kaepernick comes out.
Throws for almost 400? Did he throw for over 400?
Yeah, I think he got 400 or whatever. Either way.
Either way.
They don't really matter. And it's not just a matter of the yards. It's the fact that a guy who, since his return to starting role, has quite frankly looked horrible.
Maybe he was just rusty.
Yeah. Well,
he finally knocked the dust off of it.
Yeah, and in typical Saints fashion, for whatever reason.
For sure.
It don't matter what decade it is, what head coach it is, we just seem to have this thing.
Well, Kaepernick hasn't thrown for over 120 yards this season.
We're going to be just the tonic that they need for a cure for what ails him. And, you know, he just came out and tore the Saints up.
Yeah. Well,
and with the return of Bro and Sterling Moore in the backfield, you know, which I came into this expecting, all right, you know, this is going to be.
Well, and Bro, I thought he played well. He was on a snap count because, and it's another interesting thing, and I don't know if this is for good, bad, and ugly, But me and Tomas can have a discussion here because I found it really interesting that when Bro came back, the man that went to the bench was Crowley and not Webb. Now, even I would say, based on what I saw, I don't have a lot of – I mean, Webb, oh, man, I tell you, he makes some good plays. He had some pass breakups. But then he just has too many plays where it just didn't look that good. I thought Crowley would be higher than him on the depth chart. But apparently he's not because –
Well, you know, there were a lot of them on the field at the same time. I mean, there were a lot of instances where Webb was out there, you know. But when Bro went out, Crowley was lined up on the outside a lot in place of where Bro was.
Once Bro went out.
Right, but Webb was playing more of the nickel
inside?
Back. Yeah.
So then where's Sterling Moore playing?
Outside, on the other side.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
So I wouldn't really say that it was Webb over Crowley.
It's more Sterling
Moore. Crowley was more of a direct replacement for Bro.
Right. And that makes sense. That makes sense. And then they feel that Webb, maybe more physical and quicker hips, can play inside.
This is why I said that at some point you're going to have to give up on this bend but no break, because you're going to say that the ugly was defensive backs. But if the coaches are telling them, hey, this is how we're going to play.
Yeah. Well, it was pass defense. That also plays into the fact that we weren't able to get to Kaepernick.
Well, that's what I was going to say. When you can't move the guy off his little nickel spot, you know, hey, I'm standing right here, and I got all day to throw from this spot right here.
Well, I wouldn't say they didn't do that either. Kaepernick, they moved the pocket a lot for Kaepernick, and he does have wheels. I mean, that's the bottom line.
He
does that better than he is a passer, certainly.
I think he used to be.
And
I don't think he has the same wheels anymore, because a couple of times he went out to the outside, and we caught him. You know, a couple of times he went to the outside, and he had to throw the ball away. So 3 years ago, Kaepernick would have, you know,
I don't know enough to sit here and make the argument.
He didn't complete that many of his throws, though, from the pocket. I don't think. I think most of the big plays that he made was when he rolled out
around
and hit a receiver coming across the field. He's running to his right. The receiver's coming across. He had quite a few of those that wound up being big gainers.
He had, if I remember correctly, two plays that I just remember being like off of a read option play action pass.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, golly, when he pulls that ball out, the linebackers are running up. And leaves a big gap between the linebackers and the defensive backs who are on top of the receivers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, man.
I'll give you one more. And here's something that, you know, it's got to be considered. Last week was San Francisco's bye week. You know, so they had an extra week to prepare.
This is true.
You know, so they sat at home, and we traveled there. But that extra week to sit at home and go, let's study some more film. I'm certain they sat down and go, hey, you know what? Look at the defensive backs these guys are playing. You know, hey, you know what? You know, they only have one rusher, Cam Cameron. You know what? We'll take the penalty if we hold them, and they give us a penalty for holding. You know, but let's put two guys over on. Let's chip them on that side. That's what they did. You know, now, your boy didn't play yesterday. He was on the inactive. And Onyemata, you know, was in there for almost the entire game, you know, playing in the inside. So Jenkins is the guy.
Everybody on this show knows that you defend
that's
him.
That's your
like
boy, that. John Jenkins. So I think that, you know, I mean, we have a lot of talent, very young talent, Rankins, Onyemata, on the line. Fairley's doing okay, you know, but really the whole line revolves around Cam Cameron, you know, and if he doesn't have Cam Jordan, sorry, you know, if he doesn't have, you know, the ability to really put pressure on him because he's being double teamed and chipped, that's a problem for us, you know, because the other guys, they don't put enough pressure in there to make a move around, you know, and then the weak linebacking play. And then, you know, so to me, you keep going down the line. If you say, you know, we had poor defensive pass coverage, I don't disagree with you, but I think part of that's the function of how it's being coached and who we have in there playing, you know?
Yep.
Hi, I'm Rookie Bobby.
And I'm Cal Naughton Jr.
We like to have a lot of laughs on the racetrack, but today we want to talk about something serious.
The NFC South, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Carolina Panthers.
Hey!
All right, you know, I don't know if I mentioned this yet, but you have that, Tomas, you have that slightly sick voice. It's kind of sexy, man. I think it kind of brings a whole new element to your to your game.
Well, you know, when I'm doing my other show, I had to turn up the gain because I didn't have enough voice.
Yeah, I see you over here sucking on those canis, or the what do you call it, the throat lozenges.
Ricola.
Ricola.
They at least helped me not to have to cough so much. But
well, I don't know if it's helping anything. Okay, so the NFC South.
Yep.
Yeah. We got Carolina pulling out a win against the Rams, messing me all up in my pick'em league.
Yeah.
You know, y'all might get confused because I do like and enjoy playing with you guys, and I'm going to give you my money when you win. But I have another league that I play in. That's where I make the money to give you that $100. and so when I start talking about these two different leagues, I've been playing on this in this pick'em league for, I don't know, man, probably about 6 years now. And so that's the other league if you hear me talking about it. But that one got me. And I'm not sure where I finished in this one because with my six picks, I'm sure I must have won a bunch of them. I don't know. It's just not a lot of picks, man. It's not a lot of wins in this league. The other league they let me do, you can do either team, obviously, or you can do an over or under. So it gives you more options if you don't feel good about, you know, the team in general. So another thing I think you said, and I know they're getting off the subject here, but them damn Packers, boy, I tell you what.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just done with
them. I'm never taking the Packers again, no matter which way it goes.
There's a lot of stuff going on there, but let's stick with the South.
Okay. So anyway, the Scam Newtons pulled out 10-3 win over Rams.
Yeah. Now, you know what I think was just lovely? I'm going to tell you what I think was just lovely. So Cam, and you can insert the okay. So Cam, he says, I'm gonna have a visit to the commission.
Right, and enough is enough. You know, I plan on talking to Commissioner Goodell about this.
So he has this big meeting with Goodell.
He had the meeting.
Yeah, he had the meeting.
Oh, okay.
And he said the meeting went really well, and so then they go to play the game.
Yeah.
He got tattooed I don't know how many times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I was like, oh, poor little baby.
Yeah.
Why don't you have another meeting? You know.
I didn't look this up, and it's something that now that we're talking about, I'm interested in. I wonder how many penalties were thrown because none of them looked dirty, but there were several where he got smashed. Yeah. I mean, he had one where the guy.
But here's the thing, and it goes back to, you know, some people are like, because I saw one of the former referees was on one of those stations, and he was like, you know, they're still not calling it, you know, correctly, blah, blah, blah. Dude, if you're in the pocket and you get hit in the pocket, they're going to call it. But if you scramble out the pocket, you're not a quarterback anymore.
Right. And he just obviously.
You're a running back who can throw the ball. So when you out outside in that pocket and the defender goes, I got to tackle this guy because he's going to run with the ball, and he hits you hard and your head bounces off that turf, sorry, Charlie, there's no penalty there.
Yeah.
No, he obviously doesn't get that. I mean, I think he does, and this is just a look into his mind where he thinks that somehow he's above all this, that because he's a quarterback, then he gets to abuse you as a running back, but you can't hit him back.
Right.
And it's like it's just more, aside from how he dresses, which is insanely stupid. If I just had to point that out.
I didn't like the hat with the feather in it.
I mean, oh, my God.
I thought it was pink in the teal or whatever.
Green hat, pink jacket.
I was waiting for him to go. Yeah.
That was last week, though. This week, I got a glimpse of it, and I missed it.
Yeah.
But it was something even more outrageous.
Yeah.
And, I mean, is that what you want to be known for?
It's well, I was waiting when he had the one with the feather in his hat. Waiting for him to come through. I go, smoking! You know?
Yeah, but, well, I think it is.
Smoking!
Dave, you know, you asked that question. We talked about this before. I think the guy's more worried about celebrating before he gets to the end zone. He gets his ass tattooed.
But remember that particular play against the LSU linebacker hit him, and he just kind of – and we all asked ourselves, what was he doing?
Yeah.
Jones in Atlanta.
Just smashed him, and then now he's all upset he got hit.
Yeah, like, he was getting ready to go into the Superman thing and, you know, fake ripping his jersey open all this before he even got to the end zone.
Yeah.
And the dress and stuff and, you know, and not jumping on a damn ball in the biggest game of all of these guys' lives. And you know what, going to commissioner, you know, with that's usually going to get you. I can imagine that he went in there and talked to Goodell. He walked out of the room. Goodell picked up the phone and called the head of officiating and said, keep the flags in the pocket and see how dare this guy
call me
on the carpet.
Yeah, you know what?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I have to believe.
I mean, it wouldn't shock me if he's going to get cream more and get even less calls because he went up the ladder to get – you don't do that, man.
I just smiled.
You don't do that.
I just smiled and realized something. You know you hate somebody like I hate Cam Newton when all of a sudden I'm jumping on Roger Goodell's
bandwagon. Yeah.
Like, oh, I bet he should have told him. You know who I am? You don't call me out like that. You know, I'm like,
do you know who you're talking to?
But
do you imagine that? That's not what was going through Goodell's mind?
Because
I think Goodell is exactly that guy.
How did this guy come in
here talking to me about getting hits on the football field?
And I'm not trying to take any. Cam Newton is obviously a superstar, but like, you'd have to imagine that Goodell's over there like, kid, go play football.
Yeah.
And get out of my office and go play football. Like, you know, like how condescending, like I'm going to go have a word with you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Son, go play football and let me worry about the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who you I never thought about it from that perspective, but I like that idea. Yeah. I like that
last
idea.
Last year I was impressed with Newton because I thought he'd learned something about being a quarterback in a pocket.
I can't disagree with that.
But I have not seen it at all this year. He's thrown from the wrong foot. His mechanics are all messed up. So you know what? Here's what I'm going to tell Cam. I'm going to give you a piece of advice, son. You know, you went to the commissioner. Now I'm going to go to you. I'm going to give you a piece of advice.
Open letter.
The National Football League is about quarterbacks who control the pocket. The National Football League is about quarterbacks who have great mechanics. Start naming them. Tom Brady, Drew Brees. You know, you talk about the top 10 guys. The top 10 guys all have great mechanics. The top 10 guys only run if they absolutely have to run.
It's those guys in the longevity. You want a real career. You might have two or three years of greatness like a Michael Vick, but then, you know.
He's not a Michael Vick either.
No.
Okay? Because he doesn't have that deceptive kind of breakaway speed that he's just a big guy.
Yes.
Okay? Well, you know what? I have news for you, Cam. You see? All the defensive coordinators and coaches out there, they study film. And they watch you play. And say, hey, you know what? Here's his weakness. When he goes to the outside, don't just tackle him. Smack him to the ground. So he gets up crying about it. And that's what they're doing. Now, you're a big guy. You might think you're Roethlisberger. Well, but you're not Roethlisberger either. Because Roethlisberger can stand in the pocket and fling that ball 60 yards on the mark with good mechanics.
Yeah.
You know, you could fling the ball a long way, but if you have poor mechanics, like Dave was saying, we'll see you for 3 or 4 years, and then you're bye-bye. You're no longer going to be around. You're gonna hurt that shoulder. You're going to hurt a knee. You're going to hurt your back, and then you're going to be goofy because all the concussions.
Then you take away his only true skill set. Mm-hmm. You know, and I agree with you because I sit here, and even though I don't
You got to put on the coaching staff.
I want to be objective, but when he dropped last year, he became a better passer. And somewhere along the line, I think lack of focus, and I'd like to pat myself on the back when I said after all that stuff that happened, I have to wonder if he has the mental toughness or the focus to be that good for a long period of time. And if his teammates can look at him and say, I'm going to follow you anywhere you want to go. I got you back after all that jackass stuff that he pulled with the not putting himself out there on the ball. And then he even said it. Daggone one could have contorted my knee in a way. Like, nobody cares about that. You know, it's the Super Bowl. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, some of you have to put on the coaching staff, though. Cam Newton's not deciding to run on those plays. He didn't necessarily, you know, that's part of their offensive game plan. They had him going out there and running as a quarterback.
Yeah, I'm sure half dozen running plays where they call a read option.
Well,
and
then when you go outside that,
yeah.
Again, when you leave the pocket, the rule's very clear. You're no longer a quarterback. You know, so.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
So then Thursday night, moving on to Atlanta and Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. Atlanta put a pretty good smackdown on Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And I, at least early, I thought it might have been a ball game. You know, we need Atlanta to lose. So I'm like just trying to hope to find a way for. But golly, I tell you what, again, back to. I hate to make this comment because there's going to be some time here in the near future, in the next few years, where we're going to be looking for a quarterback. And our options are going to be Jameis Winston. What's the kid's name from the Titans?
Mariota.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
I take him in a heartbeat. You get me?
You know, I'm not impressed. Name Johnny Manziel. Name a bunch of these quarterbacks that, I mean, it's a scary thought.
Yeah.
Because Tampa Bay's tried to find a quarterback for years. You finally get a high pick, and there's Jameis Winston. And, you know, I know it's still early.
That's not their problem.
He's not that good.
Well, but you're picking the wrong problem.
All right, let's hear your
– Let's go back.
All right.
Last year, okay, last couple of years, Tampa Bay was in a rebuilding process. Well, we all agree with that.
Sure. Yes.
They hire who? Lovie Smith.
Oh, yeah. The Shiano. Then
they
Lovie
got
Smith.
Rid of him.
Yeah.
He was
right.
Time.
Okay.
All right. Lovie comes in and says, okay, we're going to build this up a little bit at a time. We're going to find the right players. Okay. So, slowly, they're getting good players. Okay. Then they draft Jameson. They have a guy who's the offensive coordinator. Jameson loves the offensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator loves Jameson. looking like it's getting a little bit better. They decide, you know what? What are we going to do? It seems that Philadelphia is going to hire a new coach. They're going to kick Chip Kelly out. They want our offensive coordinator. So here's what they do. Lovey, you're gone.
Yeah.
We're going to keep the offensive coordinator. Well, now, Tampa Bay has gone to, you know what, in a quick second. Why? Who's coaching their defense? What happened to they got no defense.
There's so much guy young talent, too, man.
Guy who they hire as head coach, is he really head coach material?
Yeah, that's a great observation. I had forgotten about that. Yeah,
he's not a head coach material. He's an offensive coordinator. Well, you know what? Sorry, you're not Sean Payton. You can't do both gigs.
And also as head coach, yeah, he's not working with Jameis Winston in the offense and all. Like, you got to wear a lot of hats as a head coach.
There you go. There you go. So to me, Tampa made a huge mistake. They should have said, you know, son, you're not in charge. We appreciate you like this guy, but you know, if Philly wants to make him an offer, let him make him an offer. We're going to stick with Lovey, who's a guy who's a professional, who went to Chicago, turned Chicago into a top-notch team. We're going to stay with him. And that's the way it's going to be. But instead, you know, I think that's Tampa's problem. Now, that's just me, because they have some talent. There's some kids on that team who are really very talented.
Yeah.
But they're not being coached properly on how to play this game. And Jameson, I wasn't impressed with Mr. Crab Legs before, and I'm still not impressed with Mr. Crab Legs.
Yeah.
You know? So,
well, I mean, you know, I
he's good. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to say that he's, you know, worthless. He's good, but he's not going to be in the same conversation as Breeze at the first tier. He's not even going to be in the conversation with Matty Ice in the second tier.
It's still early. It's still early. I guess what I'm saying is, in my mind, unless I have an exaggerated opinion of all those receivers they have, you know, they have two huge receivers whose names escape me right now, that it seems like even if you can't, I feel like I could get back there and just throw the ball up in the air and they'll just have muscle.
Yeah.
And it's just not that easy. So it seems like he has a lot of stuff to work with and just never, you know, it just seems like that team should be better.
Yeah. And I just gave you my rationale, coach.
The other problem that they ran into is the fact that right now, Matty Ice, as you called him, is – not playing second tier.
No, man.
He's arguably the only guy playing better than Breeze at the quarterback position right now.
And there's a perfect example of coaching. See? Well, Mike Smith was at Atlanta, and I have a friend who's a Falcons fan, and he knows that I can't stand the Falcons. Mm. You know? I told him several years ago, I said, dude, thank you. As long as Mike Smith's your coach, I know we got two wins every year against your team because he will do the most boneheaded plays I've ever seen. And as soon as they let Mike Smith go, they bring in a real coach. Well, all of a sudden, Atlanta's turning things around. You know, they go out to get Sanu to play on the other side from Julio Jones. That, to me, was one of the best signings you could have imagined for Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, because that really allows Julio now to
now, that said, Atlanta started off really good last year and then had to collapse.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens this year.
I have a buddy that's an Atlanta fan, and I said, no, how you feeling? He's all, you know, smug and stuff, and he's a pretty arrogant Atlanta fan. And he pointed out that they played all their hard games already. Now,
they have the easiest schedule or the second easiest schedule left.
So he pointed that out, and I don't bother to go looking down the schedule for the road. But if it ends up being one of those things where, like, man, we got to catch them, and you look and you have, you know, tough games, and they have pansies left on their schedule. Yeah. They have the 49ers left. You're just like, man, you hoping against hope that somebody can beat them, you know? So
now you know the rest of the story.
Good day.
Show me the money.
I'll be back.
Ever touch a black man's radio, boy?
Hello, my name's Forrest. Forrest Gump.
Come on, she love you good. Boom, boom, long time.
Are you shook up? Are you nervous?
Sir, I am, sir!
Diane ain't much of a living, boy.
Don't judge me!
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
This is Sparta!
Shit just got real.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coonass.
All right, we're back here in the basement, you know, sniffing glue. And that's what it sounds like you sound in the basement. I'm going to have to come up with, we got to move upstairs, man, just to better our lot in life. But it's just, this was the available space, the space that the
works
wife
for me.
The wife let me. It's actually pretty cool. I'm going to have to put a picture up. We got a big whiteboard. We got all the Saints jerseys.
Yeah.
Got a new printer right there. We got all our microphones, the addition of the TV,
so
we can actually watch TV while we're doing the show.
That's right.
Anyway, because we do the show during Monday Night Football most of the time, so maybe I should turn the TV so we could actually watch instead on politics. We're just watching Bill O'Reilly move his hands around. It doesn't really give you a whole bunch of information.
But, well, I could fill in the blanks, but that's right.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much, you watch it, it's pretty much, they say pretty much the same thing every time. Anyway, so, but we had some moves today that Tomas wants to share.
You know, we have a merry-go-round on Airline Highway.
Yeah.
And so, Barnes is gone, Barnes will be back, Barnes is gone. Right. All right, but in reality, there were a few moves. Today, the Saints waived Chris McCain.
Oh, man.
Who had just come back.
Who they just activated.
Yeah.
And they also
think about that, though. You think of you, Chris. You're on the practice squad, and you're like, they bringing me up, only to get cut. And, like, you go from being – think about the highs and lows. You go from being brought up to now you're getting your chance, your shot, to, hey, see you later.
What does the film say?
Yeah.
Well, I said that. I just realized something. They may not be able to put him back on the practice squad unless –
they have to cut him, and then
– So they'll probably sign him back to the – yeah, okay.
And then they cut my boy Brian Dixon.
Oh, man.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah, shouldn't hit that guy after the fair catch.
That's
call.
Correct.
That was stupid. Anyway. That was like, I actually forgot about that.
Yeah.
So, and they signed a tight end. They signed a kid by the name of John Phillips. He's actually been around the league for a while. He was the 6th-round draft choice of the Dallas Cowboys in 2009. Spent time there, 2009 to 2012. Went to San Diego, was with the Chargers 2013 and 2015. And last played with the Broncos. So, known for his blocking skills. So, since we've been running the ball more and more.
Saints are now power.
You know, we didn't talk about it, but, you know, we got to give a little bit of credit to Hill.
Oh, yeah.
And Hill's coming alive here lately. At
I saw him doing that. He had that one big catch, but I also saw him do some blocking. I was like, look at him. He stood up, you know.
So that's it. That's what I've got there. You know, of course, one of the things we didn't talk about that I thought was interesting was that on our special teams, we had both Murphy and Tommy Lee.
Inactive.
Yeah, that is interesting.
They had Bird fielding punts.
Yeah, Bird fair catching punts.
And then you had Cadet and Hightower.
The bumbling twins.
And
I'm surprised Cadet didn't get cut after.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 2 weeks in a row where it's just – he literally – it's just bumbling around. If you remember last week, they had the one where they kind of ran into each other, the ball flying, and they dove on it in the last – you know, it's just embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean
– Well, I think once Lasco comes back and he's not injured – that they might put him back there too.
Yeah,
and then
that would make
sense. But you notice that McMahon was Sean Payton's whipping boy on the sideline this week.
You know, you're in trouble.
Every time they showed a shot on the sideline, it was Sean Payton yelling at McMahon. Yeah.
Maybe he's read the clippings and he's like, "You're not going anywhere, but you got to stand here, and I got to yell at you just for looks."
So, could be. All right, well, that's the wrap up.
All right, well, any final thoughts, Heath?
Well, you know. Interested to see if they can keep this going, right? We're back in this position again. We've scratched our way back to 500. See if we can keep it going or if we're going to.
And the Broncos didn't look that strong again, last night. They didn't look tough last night, Broncos.
You know, I wouldn't read too much into that. They're still bringing a hell of a defense.
Well, I'm going to stick to what I said before. I believe my Saints are going to sweep November. So we got one down. I believe they'll beat the Broncos. I believe they'll beat Carolina on that Thursday night game. And I believe that'll be, a step in the right direction. Now, after that, I can't say too much. I don't know what's going to happen because we do have a tough schedule. It's not an easy schedule.
No.
You know? So I'm going to stick with my 9-7. I think we're capable of doing that. And so we'll see.
Winners.
But I'm happy with where they are. And I would agree with what Heath said earlier. I do believe the defense is getting better. The statistics, I think, are lying to us. I really think, if we don't give up the ball, we don't fumble, we don't throw an interception, I think we can play like we did yesterday, even not just San Francisco, but any team. We can get ahead by 2 scores, and then, it's a different game. So,
I think that we're winners of four of our last five.
That's correct.
Four of our last five.
Yeah,
I mean,
4-1 in the last.
You know, that's pretty impressive. I read so many articles about rankings.
Yeah.
And I have to watch the game over again, but he seemed to have a tough go at it for his first NFL game, and that's to be expected. One of the toughest positions is interior off defensive line to make your adjustments in the NFL. And I didn't see everything, but I saw a few plays that made me like kind of, you know, and then he started making jokes and I found myself laughing because
to go back and find it and try to show you what I was talking about. But yeah, there was one play he went in, he got hit by one lineman and he kind of got tossed to the other lineman and it looked like they were batting a beach ball back and forth between the two of them. And
he is a little round, you know. He could be mistaken.
But no, it was surprising. You know, he played almost as many snaps as Fairley.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it was 42-38. He played. So I think he played more than I would have expected.
And eventually, you have to. I think, especially in a game where you feel pretty comfortable, you get him as many snaps as you can to get him acclimated. I mean, because look. Not only has he missed half the season and some of training camp, but the guy's still a rookie. And what I brought up first was how many articles I read and people were like, oh, man, I haven't seen a guy like that since. Oh, you know, it's been – and, like, you would have thought the guy was the next coming of – and, you know, so, I mean, man, you want to talk about putting some pressure on this guy, you know, with all the articles and stuff they're writing about how great he is and how great he's been in practice. And so, but I'm looking forward to seeing, I was excited to see him get in the game. I remember coming into the third series, I said, well, now we're going to see some rankings. Cause now they start, you know, bringing in their substitution pattern and
certainly nothing to panic about. He's just getting started.
All right. Well, I tell you what, unless you guys have anything else, I guess that's it.
I got nothing
for he and you as usual, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, this is Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. We'll talk to you later.
Anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.